It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick is long enough, and it is good. At the gun, Kaimi Fairbairn wins it for the Houston Texans.
You know, that's on me. The end-of-game situation on offense, we're a tough situation. They're holding three timeouts. I got a good field goal kicker. We needed to run the clock and move the chains, and that's on me. We didn't do that there, and that's my fault.
Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sean McDermott postgame. Sal Capaccio here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. On a Monday Extra Point Show. Of course, it's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show every Monday. On a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Well, the Bills, 23-20, lost to the Houston Texans. A game that started off poorly. Pretty much for the rest of the game was a struggle. They did a great job to get it back to a tie game, and then ultimately lost in a manner in which you heard Sean McDermott talk about there, had a lot going on at the end of the game that we can talk about today. And that's what we're going to do on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number. And of course, we're here today in studio, the Dunn Tire Studios, and I am on the WGR Facebook page. So if you want to come there, you want to say hi on there, you want to chat in the WGR Facebook page chat, that's great. Go there. Live on video, you can see me. We'll take your phone calls. What do we do every Monday? No different today than any other Monday, which is your time, your turn. You give a call, you say what you want to say, we'll go from there. And the floor is yours. I know you're very frustrated today. I am too. I know you want answers. I do too. I don't have all the answers. I'm not you know, the person that can give all of those to you. I can only lend my best analysis and insight to what I know or don't know, or however else you want to go about it. But obviously a very frustrating end-of-game sequence that we're going to get into, we're going to talk about. Overall, just not good enough on offense. Or defense early on. They did a better job later in the game, obviously. You can find my arrow up, arrow down column at WGR550.com. And there were some ups. Not time to talk about that right now. Mostly downs. And plenty to talk about with that. Starting with the very first thing that I wrote about. Because I think it is the number one talked about part of the game and situation, which is the end of the game. The Bills getting the ball back at their 2-yard line, tied 20-20 with 32 seconds left. The Texans still had three timeouts. The Bills needed a first down. No matter what they run, the Bills throw the ball or the Bills run the ball, the Texans are going to call timeout or it's going to be incomplete. The clock is going to stop either way. You heard Sean McDermott there say a couple things. He said, it's a tough situation. I agree. You have to kind of balance it out. You got to figure out a way to get a first down because if you don't get a first down, you're giving them the ball back, period. Doesn't matter because the clock is stopping. He also took responsibility, accountability, said, that's on me. Got to have a way to keep the clock running. But he can't keep the clock running, and he knows that. So what did they decide to do? Throw the ball with Josh Allen, try to get a first down that way, incomplete. And the first incomplete had an offensive pass interference. So the Texans declined the penalty because they wanted to get it to second down, instead of giving the Bills an extra play after running a little time off the clock there. Okay. I absolutely think the Bills should have run the ball there. I would also say I don't think it's as clean-cut, egregious. Oh, my God, I can't believe it's the something anybody should know and do. There's an argument to be made for throwing the ball. I just don't like the argument. There's an argument to be made for saying, I'm going to put the ball in my best player's hands, Josh Allen, and we're going to figure out how to get a first down here because we have to get a first down versus just running the ball and letting them use timeouts. I do think that is understandable, but I don't think it's the right decision. And I wrote about that. And the reason it's not the right decision is this. If the Bills run the ball or if they throw it, either way, as I just said, the clock is stopping. It's either stopping by incomplete or timeout. And they're going to stop it after first, after second, and after third down. However, by running the ball, what you do is you force the Texans to use those timeouts. So when you do eventually have to give the ball back, if you do, which they did, they have no timeouts to work with. And if there's only 7 seconds left on the clock, or whatever it is, they have to kind of go quickly, either decide right then and there to kick a field goal, or you have very, very, very limited options for what they can do to run a play with no timeouts left. You force them to use the timeouts. Someone called earlier and said, and a running play takes longer than a passing play. That's not necessarily true. Running plays can take 3 seconds or four. Passing plays can take 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. The passing play to Mac Hollins took longer than any running play that you would have. So that's not true. But it is true that by giving an incomplete pass, having an incomplete pass, you're allowing Houston to preserve the one. You just need one timeout to preserve to run a play later when they got the ball. That's why they should have run the ball. Now, if you're going to throw the ball, again, defensible, I could see it, I could understand. You can't throw the ball as you did. The pass you did to Keon Coleman, very low percentage play, pass interference on him. The pass play to Mac Hollins, I'm still unsure. There's a guy underneath, dump it down to him. Like, I don't get that part of it, too. And that to me is, and Sean McDermott can say, that's on me. He's not calling that play. But he also can tell Joe Brady, hey, you better damn well make sure that this is something conservative, easy to hit, like, or run the ball, which they should have done. Or if you're going to throw it, dump it down, make it super easy. So is that on Joe Brady calling that play? Is that on Josh Allen, who doesn't see the man underneath, decides to go for it all? A couple things that are happening here, too, is this. Even locally, I heard like a guy called this morning I was on with Jeremy and Joe. And I heard, and I've seen a lot of people nationally say this. They're under the impression the Bills were trying to score. They weren't. The Bills were not trying to score from their 2-yard line, folks. They just weren't doing that. They were literally trying to get one first down, and then they were going to kneel it. Now, if you get a big play, Mac Hollins catches it, and you're out to the 40, then you do try to score. I get it. But they were not trying to score. They were trying to get one first down. Then they would have kneeled it and went to overtime. The only way to get that, but they had to get that first down. They just had to get it, or you're giving the ball back to the Texans, which is eventually what happened. Okay, right before that now, let's rewind it. Let's go back to when the Texans had the ball. They have the intentional grounding call, okay? Let me just kind of get to the play-by-play so I'm saying it right here to you. They have the intentional grounding call at the Bills' 39-yard line, which pushes them back to the Bills' 49-yard line. The Bills elected not to take the runoff on the clock. And I can see people going, well, wait a minute. If you take the runoff, then the timeout thing doesn't kind of matter as much. I get that. Totally get that. But that is the ultimate hindsight. The reason why the Bills didn't elect the runoff is they're like, oh my God, we're going to get the ball back with 41 seconds and we're going to try and score. Because they're not expecting the ball to be down at the 2-yard line. They're expecting maybe it to go into the end zone. You get it at the 20. I mean, honestly, the fly in the ointment here is Tommy Townsend had an amazing punt to get it down to the 3-yard line it was. So I get why they didn't elect for the runoff. Because you could totally say hindsight, well, they should have had the runoff. You wouldn't have been in that situation. That's right. But at the time you're choosing about the runoff, you're thinking, hey, we're going to get the ball back with some time just to get about maybe 30 yards. And we can do that in 35 seconds. So you elect not to have the runoff, but then the equation completely changes when Townsend nails that punt, which is maybe the biggest play in the game, actually. So There's a lot that happened at the end of that game. So that's the one scenario and one situation where it was like the one thing you could kind of dial in on at the end that's causing so much focus. But folks, this is a bigger issue, okay? You can dial in on that one situation. That's fine. You're not in that situation if you can be better on offense. This team should be much better on offense than they are, and they have been the last 2 weeks. They only had to be really kind of a little bit better because it was so tough yesterday. Their wide receivers are not separating. They're not getting separation from their outside wide receivers. And because of that, let me tell you what's happening now, okay? This is a little, you know, I guess in the weeds and football stuff I'm going to explain to you. Because wide receivers are not separating on the outside, defenses are not respecting them enough. So they're going man-to-man instead of playing zone. Saying, we're going to go man-to-man, and all we have to do is cover you for 4 seconds. Because in that 4 seconds, we're going to blitz the heck out of Josh Allen. He's not going to be able to find somebody available in 4 seconds. 3 seconds. Whatever it is. And now, because they're sending pressure from different places, and your receivers can't get open, and Josh has to now see everything quickly, and he can't. Now pressure's coming. Now he's scrambling around. And, oh, by the way, 2 weeks in a row, he's been laying on the turf hurt. So because the wide receivers aren't getting separation, A, you're not moving the ball effectively. 18 targets to wide receivers, 4 catches. Because that's happening, they're blitzing more, forcing quicker, tougher decisions. But even more so, what I'm worried about is, that's 2 weeks in a row because of all that, because it all starts with not getting the separation, now your quarterback's been hurt twice because of it. Your man of steel, who's been great at staying healthy and getting out of anything. Now, granted, two games ago, it was because of a trick play, an ill-timed and conceived trick play. But this is all part of everything that's adding up right now. What do you do at wide receiver? Well, first of all, they did miss Khalil Shakir, but I mean, even with Khalil Shakir, as nice as a player as he is, I'm not thinking that, oh my God, he fixes everything by any means. But if you want someone to fix everything, what does that look like? Is that trading and going all in for Davante Adams at 32 years old and that salary because they can't afford it? So how would that work? And bringing him in here. Fine. I mean, go right ahead if you want. I'm all for whatever. Amari Cooper. Something else. They don't have a lot of money, folks, under the cap. I don't know exactly what the answer is here for that. But I'm sure you have your thoughts and your questions and your comments and your opinions, and we can get to all of that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A lot to get to. There's my analysis of the final offensive series and the offense overall that finished with just 276 yards. And Josh Allen, an elite, unbelievable, amazing quarterback, one of his worst days as a pro. 9 of 30 for just 151 yards. We'll start it off with Mike in Maryland. Mike, you're first up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I'd say good morning, but we know that's not the case.
Hey, you know what? You woke up this morning. You're able to make a phone call here. It's all good, brother. It's a good morning. It's okay.
Yes, sir. So I want to say this to illustrate how frustrated we are as Bills fans. I've never called into a sports call show ever in my life. And
welcome.
Years old. And I just felt compelled to do so because as all the Bills fans, we all need to vent. So here goes. So my take on it is two points I'd like to make if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
One is another reason you run the ball and force Houston to take those timeouts is that when they do get the ball, you kick the ball and they get the ball back. Now they don't have the middle of the field. Now you're only defending right. The sidelines, and it makes it that much more advantageous for the defense.
That's correct. So that's what I was pointing out. You said it correctly, but if you make them use their timeouts, they're very limited in what they can do when they do get the ball back.
Exactly. Yes. And then my next take is, you know, we can scrutinize the, you know, the receiver core and the OC and, you know, and so forth. But for me, my take on it is that ultimately nothing's going to change until we address the elephant in the room, and that is McDermott. You know, if you look at his history over the last 4 or 5 years, from the 13 seconds to the Philly taking the knee with, you know, Josh and 40 seconds left and a timeout in your pocket, to the too many men on the field, And then yesterday, the 9/11 teamwork whole debacle, it doesn't change until we make a change at the top. And that's just my take, and I'll listen to your thoughts. Thank you.
All right. I do think, and this is not you calling in. And by the way, Mike, thank you so much. First time you ever called. I really appreciate that. I'm happy to be the one that you called here today. And I do express and understand and share a lot of your frustrations. I do think there's a little bit of hypocrisy going on with some Bills fans today, though. I do. Everybody was really, 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 really up in arms last year when they did not, when they sat on the ball with 20 seconds left in Philly in the rain. They had 32 here, and it's a dome, and they got aggressive, and a lot of the same people are now upset about that. I would also concede and tell you it is a different situation. I totally understand. Not every situation is the same. I do think there's a little hypocrisy baked in there, though, to be honest with you, for some people. So, yes, I know. It's not the exact same. It's not one for one. And I'll tell you, like, both times I disagree with how they did it. In Philly, should have at least attempted. Should have at least tried to do something. 20 seconds left. You're at the 30-yard line, I think. Just try one play to see what you can do. If it doesn't work, maybe you kneel on it. And this one, should have run it. I'm with you on all that. Let's go to, where are we going? Bob in Connecticut. Hi, Bob. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. It's Rob.
Rob, I'm sorry, buddy.
That's fine. I just wanted to say thank you. I don't envy your job, but I'll always respect your job. I think I look more forward to listening to WGR 550 than, experiencing what I experienced yesterday. And, that's definitely a game that I appreciate that I didn't have to see because I was just disgusted. I think what bothers me most, and I listened to the show all morning with Joe and Jeremy, and they did an excellent job breaking down everything, and a lot of callers touched on a lot of things. So I really don't have anything to touch on as far as the game except the fact that what bothers me, there's two halves. And the first half just, like, was mind-boggling. And it just seemed as, well, let's go into halftime and try to figure it out. Play the full game, you know, and that's what bothered me. As far as the wide receiver core, I just feel like the team has settled for what they have and believe that maybe this will work. And, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes. Our hands are tied. And we got to figure out how to untie him, you know. And I feel a sense of we're settling, and I don't want to settle. I want to go out and make something happen. What's going to happen? I don't know. You don't know. But I know that we all know that something's got to change. I'm not pointing the fingers at anybody, you know. So with that, Sal, have the nice rest of your day. You always do a great job, and I'll sit back and listen. Thank you.
Okay, Rob, thanks for the phone call. Let's get to Jim in Denver. Hi, Jim. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Yes, I'd just like to say it seems like a lot of the focus is on the end of the game when really this comes down to two things, why the Bills lost, and this is throughout the whole course of the game. Is first down play calling atrocious? What was it, 20 of 25 plays on first down were run plays? If I'm the defensive coordinator for the Jets coming up here, I'm licking my chops. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, there's no creativity on first down. They don't, find ways of scheming guys, running backs or running maybe some bunch formations. Maybe rub some guys out and create some space for wide receivers. So that's my first issue. Second issue is third downs. They were atrocious on third downs. I don't know what the actual numbers ended up being, but there was too many third and long plays that were allowed on defense. They need to figure out some different, like, formations or different packages to use on defense on third down. This team has been burned by third downs quite a bit over the last, I don't know, seems like 2 or 3 years on third downs, especially on third and long.
Yeah, third and long was an issue yesterday. Third down overall was an issue. I agree with you, Jim. It's one of the things I touched on, arrow up, arrow down, and I wanted to make sure I made a point of it today, so I'm glad you brought it up, which is I look at a game from start to end. It's not just one moment that costs you a game. It's not just one moment that wins you a game. The focus, as you said, is on the end of the game, but there were many, many issues which led to the end of the game which didn't have to happen. One of those is the Texans converting 8 of 16 third downs, including several long ones, and the Bills converting 21%, 3 of 14. That's going to happen when you can't get separation and they're lighting your quarterback up with blitzes. That makes it a lot tougher. Even if you catch the ball, it's going to be shorter of the sticks, and it was a big issue yesterday. So thanks a lot, buddy. I agree with you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You got it. Jim calling from the International Space Station, apparently, sounding like he's in an astronaut helmet right there. We appreciate that, Jim, from all the way out there, speaking of Houston. Let's go to Nick in Dallas, another city down there in the Lone Star State. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, Sal. First time calling into a sports talk show as well.
Wow, that's amazing. We got a couple of newcomers today. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we do. Extremely frustrated this morning. Did make the drive down from Dallas yesterday, or flew down. It was nice meeting you on the sideline before the game, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I don't remember you specifically, but if you told me, I would. But I'll say this. I was impressed with the Bills fan turnout. It was loud when Keon Coleman ran down the sidelines for a touchdown.
You know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was. I almost go as far as saying there was, you know, more Bills fans than Texans fans there.
On that side of the stadium, there were. But if you take it in full, there certainly wasn't. But on that side of the stadium, there may have been, Nick. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, Sal, my frustrations are stemming from the fact that, you know, we pay a guy like Curtis Samuel $10 million a year.
And it's eight, just so you know, it's eight, but go ahead.
Eight, sorry.
Yep, it's all right, go ahead.
He's not getting nearly as many looks, and, you know, it's a guy like Mac Hollins downfield. We're throwing the ball to him in the flat. I mean, you know, look, Shakir goes out. Obviously, you know, Josh was extremely limited yesterday. There was not a lot of open guys most of the game. And, I mean, I think if we want to make anything out of this season, we absolutely have to push for a trade here. Now, yeah. I wanted to get your take on, number one, I think the Davante Adams situation is kind of pie in the sky. I don't really think we can afford him. But who do you think that we can legitimately, you know, make a move for? I mean, obviously, you know, Bean has been pretty good about making moves, you know, throughout the season, pre-trade deadline especially, you know, last year with Rasul Douglas, year before with Himes. I mean, he's filled missing gaps, you know, to make playoff pushes. And I just kind of wanted to get your take on, you know, where you think we go from here to improve that receiver core.
Well, if you want to make a deal, if you want to make a deal, Nick, and I agree with you, Davante seems like it's, as you say, pie in the sky. I just think it's too, you just can't do it. Unless the Raiders are going to eat a whole ton of money, which then will probably cost you a little more in capital. Because right now, if you trade for Davante Adams, it would cost you, the acquiring team, on your cap $12 million, and the Bills do not have that. They have like maybe four or five they could use, and even that. So it's not going to happen. The Raiders have to eat a whole bunch of money, and they don't do that, and I wouldn't expect them to do that in this situation. The guy I think that you'd have to trade for here would be Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is only due, he's very, very minimal money. It's less than $1 million for the rest of the year, to be quite honest with you. It's a base salary. That would be the guy I think that could be possibly in line if you want to make a deal. And look at the situation that's happening right now in Cleveland. You never know. Maybe they are kind of wanting to move on from him. Somebody brought up Deontay Johnson maybe in Carolina. I think he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. That would be a guy I would be interested in taking a look at. I got to investigate his contract as well. But look, there could be some deals out there. I just don't know what their appetite is right now to do that before the trade deadline. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yeah, yep. I was saying Chase Claypool, maybe if he gets healthy.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, they were willing to walk away from him with the injury. I just don't know. That tells me a lot about what they feel about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What about trading one of our tight ends in a bigger deal? Maybe going a little bit bigger.
No, that's not going to happen. You're taking on way, way, way too much money to make a trade. Like, it would cost you. They're not trading Dalton Kincaid, and they shouldn't, first of all. And nobody's going to take. You're not trading. You can't trade Dawson Knox because his trade would actually cost you way more money. With the way the contract is, the guaranteed money would accelerate, so you can't do that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So
you got it. Any trade they make is pretty much going to be draft capital going out, right? I mean, I guess you could trade a player, but the Bills aren't going to be in a situation where they're selling. They shouldn't be, at least. They should be buying because, folks, as much as it's frustrating, I get it. Like, it is frustrating. They should not be, after yesterday, it shouldn't be 3-2. It should be 4-1, right? As much as it's frustrating, and we're sitting here going, man, they have issue here, issue there. They have a lot of issues. The thing that I keep looking back at is, and keep looking at on my screen right now, the division stinks. The division stinks. They have such a good look at it. And you win the division, you're playing at home in the playoffs. I mean, I don't think they're going to be, they still do have a look at the one seed. I mean, if Kansas City loses tonight, you're literally only a game behind them. You do play them. I know that right now, hi Sal, how could you talk about the one seed the way they're playing? I get that. I understand that. But I mean, like, this is not a situation where, oh my God, throw in the towel, the season's over, what are we going to do? I do think you should try to do something because the AFC is still there for you. I mean, heck, Baltimore won yesterday. They're 3-2 like the Bills. They beat the heck out of the Bills. They should have lost that game to the Cincinnati Bengals, who came into the game 1-3. They're now 1-4. So we'll talk about the rest of the league a little bit later. Great calls to start the show. Let's keep them rolling. Let's stay on the line. 803-0550 is the number. Really appreciate you all calling, especially a couple of people who called for the very first time today. First time ever calling any talk show. That means a lot to me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday. Of course, presented by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.